darkness.
Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you.
Side.
Grander earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of your voice. Seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken with my regard.
Join with us. Because of you and what you've done on the cross for us.
Far be it from me to not believe, even when my eyes can't see. And this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea.
Here we go.
Through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well.
Come on up, kiddos. Hey, fellas. Good morning. Two want to sit over here, maybe two over here, so the stage doesn't go that way. All right. I'm afraid the stage is going to start tilting soon. What's up, guys? We're not awake yet.
How was the first week of school?
Good.
How was it?
Good.
Good.
Let me guess.
Good.
Fair enough. Was it hard getting back into the swing of things?
Yes.
Fair.
There have been a few words, right?
So, did you guys know that today the big saints are learning how to pray the way Jesus taught his disciples? Does that sound familiar to you guys?
Yeah.
We're actually ahead of the big saints because we learned that, like, what, 3 weeks ago?
We did?
Yes. Do you remember when we broke down the Lord's Prayer sentence by sentence and I explained what it meant in, like, normal words?
Yes.
Thanks, guys. So I was thinking maybe we'll just take a break this week and, like, play foosball instead so they can catch up to us.
Okay.
Cool. So,
more excitement.
I want to play foosball. So we learned that it's important to thank God for the blessings in our lives and to help us stay away from evil and temptations, and that to give us our daily bread does mean that we always have enough to get by and not that we want a sandwich, right? Remember that? We talked about that. So do you think that Jesus gets mad if we don't pray exactly the way he taught us, Noah?
No.
So I don't think so either. I think that as long as we pray from our heart, Jesus is always really happy to hear from us. What do you think?
Yes.
Yes.
Amen. So speaking of praying, you guys want to pray? Yeah, cool. All right. Holy Lord in heaven, thank you for these beautiful children that are a part of our church. Let us remember to lead by example and not by word. Bless these children on earth as you will in heaven. Please give them their daily bread. May we have patience with them and they with us, and lead them not into temptation, but deliver them from evil. Amen.
All right, fellas.
And now we come to the prayers of the people, where we as a congregation join together and raise prayers that people have asked us to pray for during the week, as well as praying for events that we become aware of that have a more global scope. Please join me in prayer. Loving God, today we pray in a special way that your presence and your power, your spirit, be in that group of people where Jacob is meeting and being ministered to. Bless them, O God, with your presence. Fill their hearts with your love. Give them strength that they may individually continue to worship and to lead in your spirit. God, today we also pray for a friend of the congregation, Norma, whose mother passed away this week. We pray for her spirit. Norma's spirit, surround her with your love, O God. Give her heart peace as she goes through this difficult time of grieving. God, there's people from the congregation that are recovering from surgery and major illnesses. There's also a friend of the congregation that's been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. God, when our bodies fail and we really don't know which way to turn, Remind us that you are always there and that your love is sufficient. There's so many others that are recovering, Lord. Some have been in deep depression, and your spirit has shone into their lives. Continue to surround them with your love, O God. And God, finally today, I continue to pray for a gender-fluid teen, a child of yours who's really going through some significant emotional challenges. We pray that protective angels surround and assist them and that their eyes be truly opened to your love, your grace, that continues to surround them and bless them. Give their heart your peace, O God. O God, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Hear our prayer, God above, as we come to you and seek your patient love. Hear our hearts, hear our minds. Hear the echo of
the words we can
apply. So we pray,
the highest good be done, as we long to see your kingdom come.
Today's first reading is Psalm 138. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give you thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased the strength of my soul. All the royalty of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, God regards the lowly. For the haughty, God perceives from far away. And though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me against the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill God's purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands.
Our second reading is from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, One of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Creator, hallowed be your name, your dominion come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us, and do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot give up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is your friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are fallible, know how to give gifts to your children, how much more will the heavenly Creator give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?"
Please join with us in singing our lesson response.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. Pleasing to you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. My God.
And truly, O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you and communicate the message that you have given me. O God, our Redeemer. Amen. Today I'm tackling a new challenge. In this sermon, I'm continuing one of Jacob's sermon series on building community. And it's building community as seen through the Gospel of Luke. And I'm not sure whether you are focused on it or understand it, but the Gospel of Luke is the one that is filled with themes of social justice and acceptance and inclusion. That's also what was the theme and the trademarks of the early Christian church. They loved each other. They loved each other because that's exactly what Jesus taught them to do. Jesus taught them to interact lovingly. So far in this series, we've talked about being called to take action when we see injustice or injury. Example was the Good Samaritan. And we do that when we have that opportunity and we stretch to live into that. Then it was honoring and accepting different types of people in our community. And we definitely, and the example was Mary and Martha. And we have our share of Marys and Marthas and a few other individuals, and we accept and embrace them, and we learn to work with them because each of us brings our talents to God. And then, the third week of the series, Jacob planned on how do we pray. And after he asked me to preach today, Jacob gave me links. And I'm not sure of how I'm supposed to give credit, and because this link to the blog, Pulpit Fiction, that Jacob uses is something that I've used extensively in this sermon today, and I want to make sure that I give credit where it's due. And frankly, I don't know how to put footnotes into a sermon, so I'm just saying it now. I looked at that, and it gave me truly some incredibly deep insights into these readings that I really am going to share those insights with you, but these readings are ones that I always thought I knew, I understood, and I got it. I found out there's a lot more. A lot more. Now, I found it interesting, and I have to share. The blog started with a warning. Be careful. There's a lot to preach about here. And at first I didn't exactly get it until I started delving into things. And good grief, you could do a continuing talk for a long time just on what's here. Right below that was another note. Said, I talked to some older people in a discussion group about the Lord's Prayer. And the responses that I got from them were, it's sort of a lazy prayer. Or when I don't really have or know what else to say. And then, I've seen people in memory care able to say it. And I have to admit that I've witnessed that myself. Now, I grant that prayer as a subject is really intricately complex topic when it's considered from the perspective of a human being, a human physical being that's trying to have a spiritual experience. If you're looking at prayer from that perspective, it's really tough. Talking to God. Let's see, what can I remember? Oh, yeah. I've been good, so please bring me... wait a minute. That's Santa Claus. So, I call on you today to change your perspective and remember that we really are spirits that are having a physical experience. We truly are spirits that are living here and now and having a physical experience through the body that we've received. And when you change that perspective, the whole energy of the conversation shifts. It's quite different. Now, today in the readings, there's two perspectives on prayer. They're also quite different. In the first reading, David prayed publicly from a place of gratitude. And the words of his song to God are heady and absolutely beautiful. And this kind of prayer was really in Jesus' background. He knew about it. But royal or public proclamation was not his prayer style. It didn't reflect his relationship with God. So, in the second reading, Jesus was by himself praying in a certain place. We really need to stop and take notice of this. Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped what he was doing, teaching and reaching out to the world, and he went away to a private place to have alone time with Creator God. I'm really not sure that I can even imagine the depth and intensity of that exchange. And Luke records that Jesus did this frequently, often. I made a note here. Take note, change my personal behavior. I pass it on to all of us. If Jesus did this frequently, and that was the basis of a relationship with God, hello, I probably need to do even more. And it was after Jesus finished one of these intense sessions, one of his disciples asked him to teach them to pray. Now, I need to point out, this is not the only place that the Lord's Prayer is recorded in the New Testament. It's also in Matthew 5. And Matthew 5 records Jesus teaching the prayer to his disciples, but the whole chronology and the details of that story, as well as the words of the prayer that's recorded, are different. The words of the prayer in Matthew are more like a royal acclamation, proclamation of God's glory and honor and strength and power and royal estate. That's not what Luke says. Now, I am going to skip the dive into the theological details of the discrepancy between the two passages that Jacob's theology blogs alluded to. It was amazing. But I want to focus on Luke's prayer. Luke's prayer begins with Jesus expressing a deep relationship with God. A deep relationship that was built on familiarity, time spent together, and also linked, totally enmeshed and intertwined with the concept of God's holiness. And the blog told me that in the Greek they used the passive voice on the words there, and the implication of those words is that we're asking God to hallow God's own name. Hold God holding God's own name holy. And I'll go into that just a little bit more in a couple minutes, but basically asking God to act in the world so that God's name is made holy throughout the world. And that involves us also. The next area that it goes into is the phrase, "Thy kingdom come." And here I want to repeat why it is here in MCC that we delete one letter and change that from "Thy kingdom come" to "Thy kingdom come." In changing from kingdom, which is the royal estate and the royal power, to kingdom, which is family, inclusion, God embracing each one of us. What's the focus? What's the focus when we pray? Is it God's royalty or is it God's acceptance? Acceptance and embracing like a really good and intimate family. The petitions that follow in this prayer then flesh out what this relationship really means. When God's name is hallowed and God's kingdom come, there is daily bread for all. Forgiveness is practiced, and God delivers the faithful from the time of trial. Really, if we're going to pray like Jesus taught us in this passage, it calls us to a participation in a new way of living that's really in opposition to a lot of what the world is doing, where it's me, 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 what can I gather, what can I do, pulling everything, the royalness, and to its rulers and kingdoms. This is really a scary path that God asks us to walk. He calls us away from our individualistic notions of God providing, kind of like Santa Claus, that so many people hold. And it places us right in the middle of God's self-giving love. The prayer calls us to live that way, in the middle of God's love. And in case you haven't heard it or you don't remember it from me saying it all the time, the message continues to be, God loves you. God loves each of us. Our spirits are part of God's perspective. And God loves us. And so if we walk into this new allegiance with God, it's probably going to incorporate some practices which might lead to places we didn't expect. The Lord's Prayer really can't be just words that we recite. It's a prayer that we really are called to live each day, each moment, with each encounter. It becomes the choices you make, the grace that you show, the forgiveness you give, and the bread that you share. I call on you to consider this new perspective, this new way of living. And even in the not-so-pretty world that we really live in our reality today, if we are living the Lord's Prayer each day, each minute, I absolutely guarantee you that the world will become a different place. We really are called to be that voice of healing, acceptance, and inclusion in our day-to-day world. And now I'm going to add one additional twist. When you're in your alone time with God and you're struggling to try to figure out how to communicate with God on this intimate, personal level, I have a suggestion for you. I suggest that part of your focus become praying for other people. Pray for other people that you know are in difficult times. Pray for people. Raise them up to God and ask God that the highest good in their life become manifest. That's an interaction with God that God understands, and its energy is flowing. And if you understand this whole process of prayer as sort of sending positive energy, that's fine. That's also prayer. And when we begin to pray for each other as a congregation, and we stop and we remember each other, then we start feeling God's presence more and more, because we're sharing God's presence more. And that, in turn, will lead naturally to the prayer of St. Francis, where it's, make me an instrument of your peace. Loving God, today we come to you as a congregation of people. We come to you as a congregation of people that's living in different worlds. And you've sent us the message to live out the prayer that you taught us. Keep us ever mindful, O God, to be focused on justice, inclusion, and acceptance in each of our interactions, so that your name continues to be holy through our actions and our life. Give us also the passion to pray for each other, like the early Christians did, supporting them and asking for your blessings to be poured out on them. Help each of us, each day, to live the prayer that you taught us. Amen.
Good morning. My name is Kathy James, and I'm the board treasurer here at MCC Tampa, and Ross is blocking me from being... That's okay, Ross. I'll just take the mic. And Jacob asked me to do the call for the offering today, and I feel very privileged to do so. You know, we've had a heck of a summer here at MCC Tampa. Just a couple of weeks ago, we celebrated our 48th anniversary. Yeah. And careful, because, you know, we need to start thinking about that 50th celebration, and you may need to be on a committee or something. So just think about that. And then 2 weeks before that, we had the awesome privilege of having Metropolitan Community Church's new moderator, Reverend Elder Cecilia Eggleston, to be with us just right after she had been elected. So how wonderful was that for her to come to our church as one of her first visits after becoming moderator? Truly awesome. But the visitor and event that really made an impression on me earlier in the summer was on July 7th when Reverend Axel Schweigert from Stuttgart, Germany, came and visited with us right after the General Conference, July 7th. So it was just a couple of days after a momentous General Conference and also after the 4th of July. And the things that Reverend Axel said, I want to share again with y'all so that we don't forget the things that were said. At the beginning of the Eucharistic celebration, he said a couple these things. He said, remember that we are coming together in this beautiful church. And it made me remember, as he said, that they're in Stuttgart, that they have a small rented room where they celebrate church. And how lucky and how hardworking it has been for us to have this wonderful facility for us to celebrate the Eucharist and celebrate church. He also reminded us that we were celebrating freedom just 3 days after the 4th of July, and how incredible a gift that is, that we can come here and celebrate freedom and worship at the same time. And then he also said that we, to remember that we are all together as one family, as Kevin was talking about in the sermon. And so, you know, I think things are Holy Spirit moments. And I think that it was a Holy Spirit moment for Reverend Axel to be with us just a couple of days after the General Conference and just a couple of days after the 4th of July to remind us and hopefully allow us not to take for granted all the wonderful things that we as a community have. Let's pray. Creator God, I know you're really busy, but please nudge each and every one of us a little bit to think about the time, talent, and treasure that each one of us has and how each one of us can contribute some of that time, talent, and treasure to this community and therefore to you. Amen.
Let me bring your love.
please join with us in our holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 Lord Almighty.
We thank you for the gifts that we bring to your altar. We thank you that you have given us so much and that we are able to return some of it to you for your work. May we be good stewards of this offering. Amen.
We now take this opportunity to pause and honor Christ. Honor the stranger, both here and throughout the world. At MCC Tampa and MCC churches around the globe, we practice an open communion. That means that you do not need to be a member of this church or of any church community to come and receive a blessing. There are communion stations around the room, and here in the front, there's a self-serve station that also has a gluten-free option. All stations are using alcohol-free grape juice, so there's no one excluded.
Let us take a moment to prepare our hearts to receive the gift that is offered here. We open our hearts to God in this time. We confess that we have not always done what is best for ourselves or for others or for the earth. We ask for forgiveness, and we thank God for this opportunity to do better, to make the best decision, to stand in solidarity with others, and to protect the earth.
It was on a night that Jesus was gathered with his friends, his family, and his family of choice for a meal. And he took bread at the end of the meal, and he gave thanks, and he blessed it. And then he broke it and said, "This is my body, which will be given for you. Whenever you do this, remember me."
Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and after blessing it and giving thanks, he passed it to each and every one of them, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink of it. For this is my life, my love, my passion, my blood, which will be poured out for you, that when you eat this bread and drink of this wine, remember me."
Loving God, we now pray for transformation. We pray that these elements be transformed into your presence for each of us, so that we can be empowered when we receive them to transform ourselves and then work to transform our world. Amen.
Amen. The table is set.
If you don't mind, we'll sing the Lord's Prayer first. And so if you would please stand. Stand and sing this version of the Lord's Prayer that's focused on God's majesty and royalty and beauty.
but also remember, the message is also there. God loves you. God embraces you. God walks with you.
Our Creator, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power.
Please be seated.
The table is set. All is prepared. Come as you are. All are welcome at the banquet feast of God. Come celebrate God today, tomorrow, as we live in that time between memory and hope. Come to the table. Receive the blessing of God for the children of God.
Amen.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I need you, oh, I need you.
So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay, my hope and stay. Lord, I need you, oh, I need you. Every hour I need you, my
más poder,
That's why making sure the people are included that want to be is part of the message of this table. And so together, we give thanks to God for this gift to all of us as we now sing.
Let the church sing.
Let the church.
Loving God, we thank you once again for the gift that you continue to give to us, that you continue to remind us of your love, your acceptance, and the gift that you give us through your Son of inclusion. Bless us, O God, as we go in our day-to-day walk, and help us to remember that you truly are our source, our strength, and your love is everything for all of us. Amen.
Amen. Please stand and join us in singing our closing hymn, Somebody's Knockin'.
Somebody's knocking at your door, at your door. Somebody's knocking at your door. Oh, sinner, why don't you answer? Somebody's knocking at your door.
Here we go.
Knocks like Jesus. Somebody's knocking.
God does continue to knock. God does continue to wait. And we choose each day. So make wise choices and choose to walk and live each day in God's Spirit and in God's love. Now go in the name of the Creator, the Christ, and of the Holy Spirit, and bless this world with God's love. Amen.
Somebody.